fighting for America.
Learning doesn't have to be painful. It can be fun. And if you can get students that are not excited about school excited and make what you're doing fun, make it relevant to them, then they're going to catch on. They're going to have those aha moments.
Fighting for Idaho.
Some of the stuff we see in education on the news is on the negative side. For every negative article there is about funding and levies and what have you, there are great things that go on in every school and in every classroom. And there are a lot of teachers who put a lot of hard work into what they do.
Fighting for you.
Focuses on student learning. How are we as a teacher, as an educator, ensuring that kids are learning?
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Good morning!
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
605, Kevin Miller in the morning from Capital High School, courtesy of Cap Ed Credit Union, promoting our schools, securing our future. Joining us now is the principal, John Ruziska. Mr. Ruziska, once again, this is, I believe, our third time at Capital.
Think so.
And always a pleasure. You always have the welcome mat for us, and I'm so glad that you have the dance team working right now at 6 o'clock in the morning in honor of us being here.
Yeah, they're definitely the most dedicated, hardworking group at Capital. They're here every day. But welcome to 580 KIDO. Great to have you guys back.
Now let me ask you, when we take a look at this generation. A lot of people, it's the largest cohort ever, dwarfing the baby boomers. People wonder just how do you motivate these kids? And I don't know about you, sir, but I can tell you that you would be speaking a foreign language to me when I was in high school to come in at 6 in the morning and do some intense training before I started my academic day.
Yeah, these, well, you know, if you look at the research too, people that get up early are really successful people. The people listening right now, successful people.
Sure.
And these kids certainly follow that model and that mode. One of the things that's interesting about when I hear you say motivation of students, you know, one of the things that we have to really keep in focus, I think, and work on is the whole technology piece, because this whole generation is very involved in technology.
Digital natives, they call it.
Yeah, you know, and
that sounds intimidating to me.
Well, and I'm not. You know, I didn't have an iPad when I was, you know, 5 years old.
Exactly.
Or,
yes.
And then some kind of a device ever since, you know, school age and coming up through and all the video games.
Sure.
I mean, I'm the generation that we had, I think, Pong when I was in junior high. You remember Pong, don't you?
I'm not that young. I remember Pong and Space Invaders and the Atari 2600.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had the Commodore 64 computer.
Right, with the cassettes, yes, yeah. But you know, back to the digital natives thing, and educators and parents and everybody associated with these young people, they have to adjust because they have the high ground on some of this stuff, on most of it.
Well, no doubt. Whenever I have an issue with my computer,
right,
you would find me calling a student down and
young
saying,
Jacob, perhaps,
and just say, Jacob, get this thing fixed. It's whatever it's doing, and the kids work it over. But
right,
you know, as we engage them, and that's the part of the motivation. Going back to that motivation piece is we have just got to, because that's the key. That's how they want to get their information. That's how they want to touch it, interact with it. And I just think there's so much that we could be doing that regard.
Well, but you look at how the schools have evolved. I mean, you've got the dance team going at 6 in the morning. And, again, for most of us, you know, getting up and having a cup of coffee or in the car at 6 in the morning is an accomplishment. It's different wiring, I guess. It's kind of, you know, you go from, I don't know, analog to digital, it seems, this whole generation.
Yeah, you know, just think about everything that's happened in education. My youngest is an eighth grader, and I was just thinking of his elementary years, what they're doing in the classroom now. Let's say in fourth grade, what they're doing in math, we
right.
might not have seen till eighth grade or ninth grade. You know, it just kind of gets rolled down into younger and younger. I look at kindergarten kids and these, just the things that they're in contact with, you know what, that they can handle. I think our teacher said, oh, you're not ready for chemistry in fifth grade. Well, guess what? The kids are ready for chemistry in fifth grade, and so that's exciting. But it's all integrated through a lot more that the kids are doing.
Well, it comes down to the standards in the Boise schools. certainly excel at that. I was talking to your friend, Mr. Blukoff, yesterday or 2 days ago, and we were joking about algebra. And we were talking about how, for the national standards, you need to be in algebra by the 12th grade or something like that. But the Boise school districts, you want to teach it in ninth grade and go on to advance math by 12th grade. And that's a great value for public education. And I said, well, some of us, it was 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, and 12th grade for the same algebra class. But it highlights the advancements in learning that technology and, you know, enthusiasm provides. It would be nice to be able to bottle it and take it to other places that need it across the state.
You know, when I hear you say that, I'm going to switch from principal hat to parent hat, because my son graduated from Capitol here last year and is at Arizona State. He's studying to be a civil engineer, so he was heavily involved
in
math
light,
and science.
Something light, something light.
And, you know, I was just asking him, how prepared were you for Arizona State?
Right.
You're in calculus, you're in engineering, pre-engineering classes. And, you know, coming from a public school and just that prepared part was really something I wanted to know. How are we doing?
You wanted to know the return on investment.
Absolutely.
And that's what we talk about here at 580KIDO because, and again, I don't mean to cut you off, but to a frame of reference, you have a lot of folks that are critical of education, a lot of folks that see their kids go to school, and then they have to take a year of remedial stuff. And you think, well, what were the 12 years for to begin with?
Yeah, and what he was able to share with me is just says, Dad, I'm ready to write, because he took 7 AP classes, which, you know, a lot of kids take advantage of our AP classes to where they're just in touch with that rigorous curriculum, and now they're prepared when they land at the university or college. And, you know, from the math and science, I just wanted to know how comfortable and, compare yourself to the other kids in the class that come from some, you know, schools across America. How are we matching up at Capitol High School in the Boise School District right here in Boise, Idaho?
Right.
And he's prepared. He's right in the race. He's, you know, he's not any behind. He's not any further ahead. And some things he felt like math-wise, he's going, I'm so glad I took AP Calculus because I'm way ahead of the pack.
And the great thing about public education, a lot of people have issues with it. We understand that at 580KIDO, but it's, you know, it's also good to talk about, hey, the good things when we're talking about the AVID program, the AP program, teachers that are, you know, dedicated to be here at 6 in the morning without additional compensation. That says quite a bit. On the other hand, and we talked about this with Mr. Blukoff yesterday, the textbook issue. You know, mm-hmm. Here we are in this advanced age where we want to make sure we have iPads for everyone, and still it's the textbook situation. Is that a concern for you that, you know, and I don't know if it's true at Capitol that you have to sign out a textbook, or does every kid get a textbook with a class?
Yeah, everybody at Capitol gets a textbook. If there's a textbook assigned to help teach the curriculum,
right,
teachers and students have that to use every day, to take home. But in addition to that, what we're building upon is having that online option. You know, you do have a biology book, but I can also access that biology book online and read it,
sure,
look at it, which I think is, you know, smart. And as we get, you know, efficient in how to do that, I could see where maybe most of our textbooks are online because the kids can just access it on the bus, at home.
Yes, we'll be having a museum. They'll call it libraries of books, yes. But at 580KIDO, let's talk a little bit about a special year for Capitol High School, 50 years.
50 years, yeah. Our first year was 1965-66, so the seniors this year are pretty excited because they'll be the 50th graduating class of Capitol High School.
Wow.
So they're pretty excited. And throughout the year, we're going to do a lot of different celebrations. Being the Golden Eagles,
right,
we think the golden anniversary should be something special. And we're going to be doing that. One of the things, just to highlight, in the springtime we do what's called an academic assembly, where we celebrate all of the students' achievements. We celebrate GPA. We celebrate different scholarships that the kids get. We celebrate students of the year in all our departments, the senior scholars, kids that have GPA of 3.80 or higher. Just really put a great celebration together for what we're doing for academics. And we're going to invite all the alumni for 50 years back to that assembly, try to reconnect with our,
sure,
you know, you think of 50 years and maybe 500 students a class.
Right.
That's 25,000 students that have graduated from Capitol, which will be pretty pretty fun to try to reconnect, invite them back to that assembly, just let them see what we're doing and what we're accomplishing. And so that'll be a major thing to involve our alumni and celebrate our 50th anniversary.
Indeed. Now, obviously, when you think of Capital High, you think of a lot of the great sports stars that have come out of here. You got the Jake Plummer jersey here. Big ups to, Coach Harsin as well. That's got to be pretty big for you guys.
Yeah, we're going to try to get Jake and Brian, and there's just Curtis Stigers, who's a very famous musician.
If you ever watch Sons of Anarchy, he does the theme of that, yes.
So, try to reconnect, make that a real special event. We're kind of in the pre-stages of planning that. But, yeah, and then, you just think of all of the kids. We always tell them, look, you can go to Yale University. We have two students there right now. But when you graduate, you're coming back home.
Right.
And we want you to move back to Idaho. We want you to, get your job here and reconnect with our school. And that's really exciting to be able to get the kids to come back and be part of our assembly.
Well, especially when we live in such a transient world and we want to keep people in jobs and opportunities here in Idaho, to have people that will come back and give back. And, again, quite a lot of accomplishments here at Capital High School. We talked a little earlier off the air about your career playing in the old Big Sky with Boise State. Your thoughts on what the Broncos are up to in the Harsin era?
Yeah, I'm really excited about all of that. In fact, when you look at what's going on in the Treasure Valley with the emergence now of the C of I program and Boise State, for us at Capital, we're very excited about that because that's opportunity for our kids. C of I now has, a kind of an entry program for some of the kids that didn't quite make WAC or didn't quite make a D1, but they're very good football kids and get to go to a great school. And then to have that connection at Boise State too. When Brian was first named coach at Boise State, he connected with our head coach, Todd Simmons, and they had a great discussion about Capital and how this is really going to be fun. And he's very proud that he's, Capital Eagle.
Yeah, the great thing about Coach Harsin is the fact that he understands the value of reaching out to the high school kids, his outreach program, especially to his alma mater. That really makes everybody feel vested in the program.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
I was thinking back, that's the early 80s. Lyle Setensich was the coach at Boise State when I was there, and Hayes and Chote, quarterback. I mean, you start naming some of these names, you go, oh, my gosh. John Francis was a running back. So Jim Carberry was one of the assistant coaches, became the principal at Centennial High School in 87, and that's when I started into education in 1987.
Wow.
So those connections of, when you play there and you make connections with the coaches, and then you just immediately get involved in this community, and that's how it worked for me.
Right.
I ended up getting a job coming right out. And so that's so common for many of those kids.
Final question here, sticking to sports. We see high school sports now on national television. Our sister station, 630 The Fan, continuing that commitment by broadcasting games, which we love on the radio. But the safety issue, the liability issue, in a game that you played and excelled at, as a parent, an athlete, your thoughts on the safety issue involving a game that you heard Dave Burnett and I go back and back about quarterbacks moments ago. Your thoughts?
That whole concussion dialogue and discussion that's going on is the right discussion to be having. I think, safety is the number one concern, obviously. It makes me think back in my playing days. I was just joking around a little bit with some of my friends that we played together in high school and college going, my gosh, how many concussions did we have that maybe we just kind of played through and didn't know any better and just
kind of... Your bell got rung.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
And you just kind of went, well, that's just part of the game, and, you didn't want to whine about it. You just kind of, we don't really know. I think there's probably, many players that are our age going,
right,
how many did I really have? And what does that mean now? I don't know all of that, but, I think there's probably a little bit of hype behind some of that.
Can you ever believe you were that young when you see these kids playing today?
Yeah, I miss playing.
I can see that.
Wouldn't it be nice to put a helmet on and go out there? And
I don't know if it'd be nice to run 40 yards. I'll leave that up.
I don't even know if I could do that, but a couple downs, just down inside would be kind of fun. See if I could do it. But, you know, we're just going to keep, doing the right things with protocols, make sure kids are safe. And we're just, you know, it's like anything else. We get more technology. We get more information. We track things. We look at research. And if that's all adding up that we need to be doing things that are safer for kids, and that's what we should be doing because that's what the research and the data is saying. So, you know, we'll just keep working on that, make sure kids are safe. I look at the Optimus program right now. I've been told that the numbers are down, so I think there's going to be less and less kids coming through the football maybe cycle, which is something I think we need to look at just to make sure we're not taking opportunities away with some of this and just educate parents and kids on this is what's going on. This is how you can play the game and be safe and you know, stay out of the concussion situation.
I'm with you. Principal John Rozyska, we appreciate it. We'll see you around.
Thank you.
You're always great to us. We really thank you for that.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Good to be with you. Let's get to traffic now. It is 6.
Your chance to win cash is coming. Keep listening to find out more on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning from Capital High School, promoting our school, securing our future, courtesy of CapEd Credit Union. You know, other news of the day that we are talking about, out of Maine, you have a big showdown going on, a lot of showdowns today. And if you're one of those folks that love the politics like we do here at 580KIDO, I it's funny, we talk about, you know, the balance between sports and politics, and one of the great shows on television has to be Pardon the Interruption. And then, you know, which Pardon the Interruption is kind of a takeoff of an old series on CNN called Crossfire, where you had one person on one side. It's Bloomberg TV. They have a show of all things or something like that. And the content is kind of okay, but it's just tough to get fired up about debates. And I was thinking to myself, how can I tie those lessons into what we do here? But we've got big showdowns across the country, and tonight we have the final debate between, it seems kind of like we've known all these folks for years, even though some of them we've met for months, between Governor Otter, John Bujak, A.J. Belukoff, Steve Pankey. I don't think that our friend Pro-Life is going to be on the television debate tonight. You can make your prediction count, however, by going to 580kido.com, where I put up, you know, a prediction slider, if you will. Who's going to win the debate? Will it be Pankey? By the way, Steve Pankey did finally come out of the bunker. He will join us on Monday, the constitutional candidate. Will it be Pankey? Will it be Bujak? Will it be Belukoff? Will it be Governor Otter? Your votes matter at 580kido.com. And as soon as our page loads up here, Kevin, I don't really care about your page and how slow it, blah, 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 we will give you those results. While we're waiting for those results at 580KIDO, okay, let me see. I'm going to vote for, don't tell anybody, I'm going to vote for Pankey. Looks like he needs some votes. Okay, and we'll have the results here in a minute to find out who's out in front and who isn't. Right now, John Bujak is out in front with 88% of the vote. Governor Otter in with just under 5%. A.J. Belukoff, just under 5%. So right now, who's going to win the debate tonight? The big money is on John Bujak, followed by Butch Otter and A.J. Belukoff tied, and my vote for Steve Pankey with a little over 2%. So again, it seems like John Bujak and his followers are pumping up this poll. Whether that plays out tonight, I guess I'll be live blogging during that as well. So go to 580kido.com if you have nothing to do tonight. You don't want to watch Thursday night football. I'll be live blogging, and I promise I'll make it more entertaining than the actual televised debate, number one. Number two, we'll have a poll afterwards, who really won, at 580kido.com. Speaking of showdowns, we've got a big showdown in Maine involving Casey Hickox, and you know her. She's the nurse that went to West Africa. She's not sick. She went to New Jersey. They put her in the quarantine. She said, "You ain't quarantining me, buddy." And Chris Christie said, "Well, you can vamoose on out of here." They sent her to Maine. Maine doesn't want her out running the streets.
She says she's going.
I went into public health because I believe that good science and compassion can make a difference in people's lives. And that is exactly why I went to Sierra Leone to fight Ebola. It is not my intention to put anyone at risk in this
community. Well, I agree. Not anybody's intention, but what about those two nurses? What about other people that contracted Ebola? How about better safe than sorry? Well, the people in Maine say, you come out of your house, we're going to put you back in your house. She says, oh, yeah, I'm going to court. So where do we go from here?
I have been told that the attorney general's intention is to file legal action against me. And if this does occur, then I will challenge those legal actions.
There you have it. Don't get mad. Don't get angry. Go to court. Kids, forget about science, forget about sports or video games, go to law school. The Gilded Age of Litigation lives. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Bring your textbooks and we'll get started.
Brought to you by CapEd Credit Union. We love teachers.
I love my teacher.
Now, from Capital High School, here's Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Ring, ring goes the bell.
639 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's my pleasure to introduce the Capital High School dance team. You know, if we could bottle that up and take it with us every day, that you really started our day at great. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Outstanding. Boy. Outstanding, 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 boy. College game day has nothing on us, boy. Amazing these young kids here this morning, all ready to go. And let's get back to our promoting our school, securing our future. Thank you, CapEd Credit Union. We're joined by Rob Parsons, who teaches media and biology. Boy, that's an eclectic mix here at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
And you just have to speak in a little bit closer to the mic, just like it's a phone. You were reminiscing of the days of 630 and 580 before they swapped signals, talking about the request lines and everything.
Back in the day, KFXDFM 58, you go to Hawkins Red Steer and you do your request to your favorite significant other back then and listen to it on the radio.
It's a little different now. We still have requests and stuff, but not to Sweeties anymore.
No.
Not to Sweeties anymore. Now, you graduated here in 1974?
1974.
Right.
Ancient history. Wonderful place to come back to, and this is my 26th year here. And you throw in the 3 years that I was here as a student, and that is half my life.
Half.
Capital High, and years well spent, no regrets for sure.
Indeed. Now, it's fascinating when you talk about teaching media, and we were reminiscing about the film strips with the cassettes and the copying that was all done in purple and those type of things.
Oh, yeah, mimeograph, yes.
Mimeographs.
Yes.
And today, I mean, we got overhead projections. Today, we couldn't have even imagined what you deal with today in the classroom.
No. In fact, even when I graduated from high school, we didn't even have calculators. I was doing physics on a slide rule. But, hey, it was good enough for NASA and the Saturn V moon project. So,
look, we love the slide rule, some old-school slide rule stuff here this morning at 580KIDO. So how do you keep up with the kids?
You try to stay maybe a day or two ahead of them. But it's kind of tough, but it's what keeps you young and keeps you coming back for more. So.
And so many years as an educator, why education for you?
Why education? As my dad said, it fit. It fit me. And I know I graduated in 74, came back in 1982 to do my student teaching observation. And most of my teachers, this was at Capital High, most of my teachers were still here. And they looked great, and they looked the same. And I said to myself, there's something about Capital High, something about teaching that's really agreeable. So I knew then in 1982 that this is where I wanted to come back to. I started at Hillside in 1984, but I got back to Capital in 89. Been here ever since.
Yeah, we were just at Hillside a couple weeks ago.
Great school.
They still remember you.
Great school. Yeah, I have a brick out there.
Bricks are good.
I'm in the ground out in front of the school there.
when we talk about teachers, what don't we, folks in the general public, what don't we understand about teachers? Because, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, but the daily involvement of, you know, getting kids to learn, I mean, what don't we get from not being in the classroom?
Well, I think probably one of the things is unless you're in the classroom and in the profession, you don't realize the depth of caring for kids. And we're here for the kids. That's why we come. And day after day, and over the, this is my 31st year, and, you know, I honestly can't say that there hasn't been a day that I've not wanted to come to work, even on a Monday morning when it's nice and sunny outside.
So you like your job?
I love it. I love it. Yeah.
Well, that's good. Anything else that you'd like to share with us today?
Well, if you want to see how Capitol was back in the 70s, the last vestige of the school is the auditorium. So
right.
If you want to get in on those Brady Bunch 70s colors,
the
harvest gold and the avocado and the reds and stuff, and that's soon to go this summer, and we're going to do some remodeling on that. But it's a great place today. It was a great place in the 70s. We just had our 40th reunion.
Sure.
Still a tight-knit bunch of people, and by and large, a lot of us have stayed local.
Well, that's so great. Well, we appreciate it, sir.
You're
thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Yeah, pleasure.
Thanks for coming in early. Get
right.
to tomorrow off.
Yes, thank you. Thanks to Mr. Raziska, too.
All right. 580 KIDO, it is 644 as we continue on. A few calls for you today. Remember, 580KIDO.com, the last debate, your prediction. We'll take your phone calls on that as well, 580-5436. 580-KIDO, as I was taking a look at this, we've got choices here. We've got Mr. Pankey, Mr. Bujak, Governor Otter, and Mr. Blukoff. Just kind of our way of getting ready for this big debate tonight. We've got the governor getting more votes all of a sudden. We've got John Bujak out in front with 80% of the vote. We've got Mr. Otter with 10%, and Mr. Blukoff in at a little over 7% here. And my lone vote for Steve Pankey. Who's going to win the debate tonight? And, you know, maybe we have to become, and I know this will drive Tom Munns crazy, and this will drive Tea Party Bob crazy. He goes, Kevin, what do you think I do with the Jeb State Patriot? But maybe we have to do more outreach. And certainly we have people. Can we say, when we're talking about the governor's race, that we can say that these are not the best that we have? Now, I know a lot of people say, well, what about Senator Fulcher? Hey, a highly contested, hard-fought primary. Senator Fulcher did a good job, but you've got the governor, you've got Mr. Blukoff, who has shown his commitment by spending a lot of his personal income when he didn't have to in the age of apathy. He's to be applauded. Governor Otter for coming back for a third term when a lot of people say, hey, I want to retire. Mr. Pankey, well, we'll find out about him on Monday. But again, the big debates tonight, what would you like to see? And I hope that the folks running this debate, well, we'll take a page out of our playbook here on the Kevin Miller Show. And when we do debates, which is very rare, we don't sit there and try and glom the spotlight and say, I. It's we. If you want to make this truly the people's forum tonight, I think that they should let each candidate ask at least one question to the other. I'd like to see that. They're not there to talk to the debate people and the esteemed panel. I mean, you want to talk about a real debate. I think they should just open it up and have those guys go at it, like Mitt Romney and President Obama did in that first debate. I thought that's the best debate I've seen. Anyway, taking your predictions at 580-5436, I know a lot of people are looking forward to Mr. Bujak being involved in the debate. And here's something else, and it's in the Statesman, it's on Facebook, all media organizations receive these anonymous letters concerning John Bujak. He has settled his affairs, I believe, concerning child payments, and that he was behind on his child payments. Mr. Bujak has said, hey, his child support payments, hey, I couldn't work, I was facing the federal lawsuits, I'm now current. But it begs the question, if you're going to make those accusations, why send an anonymous letter? I mean, really, why not? It's public record. Stand behind it.
But that story is circulating. I think it'll be fascinating if Mr. Bujak gets to ask some questions tonight. And we'll have to see. And, again, I'll be live blogging on that at 580kido.com. I have to remind myself to do that. And I have to remember it's Steve Pankey, not something else that I called him on the first blog. And I want to thank young Jacob there for clarifying that. Okay, coming up, still the situation involving the Ebola nurse. Well, can we call her that? You know, should people that have illnesses or have been to places with high probability of getting sick stay home? What do they tell you at work? And I love work, don't you? If you're, hey, we care about you. We love you. You're the best. You know, if you're sick, I don't want you coming to work. You need to stay home and take care of yourself.
Okay.
But I need all your work done.
Well, I was sick.
No. But don't you care? Well, you need to do both. So you come in, you can't win because you get everybody infected. And if you stay home, you can't win because you still have to do your work. It's not like you get a do-over or a mulligan on your work. It still has to get done. The rare exception is that guy or gal in the office, maybe you know them, that they come in, but they put their keys in the door and leave, and somehow everybody else does their work. Can you remember in management class, maybe? My management class was when my boss is yelling at me, which happens quite a bit. And he'd say, you know, let me tell you something, Kevin. I go, yes, sir. Hey, let me tell you something, punk. If you're a good leader, which you're not, this place would run great without you. And I'm thinking, if I'm a good leader, then I should be leading. No. I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to make yourself dispensable. You mean indispensable. No, dispensable. No, good leader is if you get hit by a truck. Another guy. You know you're in trouble. You know you're about ready to be fired when they say, hey, buddy. Yes, new boss. Hey, man. Let's say the guy's name's Doug. Yes, Doug. Hey, buddy. My name's Kevin. Yeah, buddy. Yes, Doug. Hey, need a list of things you do. Why is that, Doug? Actually, this is a true story. Hey, buddy. He said, hey, buddy, a lot. He smoked a lot. If you were a smoker, chances are Doug liked you. I didn't smoke. I was more addicted to the quarter pounder with cheese. He didn't like the fatties either. So I said, okay, I need to know a list of what you do. Why? Hey, man, you get hit by a bus. What are we going to do? Hey, man. And then 2 months later, I was hit by the Doug bus. Hey, buddy. Yes, Doug. We're going in a different direction. Okay, which direction am I going? You're going out the door. So, again, can you really win? That's the moral of the story. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Taking your calls on the big debate, your prediction, the shenanigans going on in this race, too much negativity, and is it a victory for the West Coast that the Giants won? And what happens if you like the American League? 6:50, Kevin Miller in the morning, live from Capital High School at 580-KIDO. Time for
Load our schools, secure our future. Brought to you by CapEd Credit Union. We love teachers. Now, from Capital High School, here's Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Want to thank our friends at CapEd for making this happen. As I've said many times here at 580-KIDO, we can't do it without local businesses that each and every day are on the front lines in the economy. You know what I'm talking about. And that's those folks that got to make the payroll, got to pay the bills. I was watching the show last night, actually a couple nights ago, The Prophet on CNBC. And if you have it, folks, I recommend you watch that show. It's like Business 101 in a pretty nuts and bolts kind of way, number one. And number two, if you don't, go online, check it out. I think there's shows on, you know, just Google CNBC's The Prophet. Basically, it's a guy that it's kind of like Shark Tank meets Millionaire Matchmaker, and this guy comes in and looks at businesses, and it has really made me appreciate what you do. And certainly, again, our friends at CapEd, our friends at Chick-fil-A, our friends at Sleep Country that invest in this program. And that's the way I look at it. You know, a lot of people, you know, I'm trying to think of all our great friends that that do this. And Ness Restoration, Doug Ness, a great guy. He loves the program. McDowell's as well. You know, I'd be lost without those guys, our friends, Core Group Realty. And they get it. And that's the magic that we have here in the Treasure Valley. It is, and I was talking to Sheriff Joe Arpaia about this. We will air that interview tomorrow at 6 o'clock in the morning. And if you miss it, you can always go to our podcast produced by Ray Amai at 580KIDO. But he goes, man, he described Idaho to a T. It's like what America used to be. Instead of going, you know, clicking a button, you're talking to someone face-to-face. Hey, texting is great. Instagram is the rage. It's nice, but nothing beats that one-on-one communication. And we're very happy that these folks appreciate the service that you provide. Let's get you to traffic.
Serving